Hello there. I'm Niall Kahn, and welcome to the inaugural episode of the PPRO podcast. PPRO helps millions across the world pay and get paid for goods online. PPRO is a part of the larger fintech industry, and this industry is constantly in flux and can at times seem opaque. In each episode, I'll be sitting down with some of the expert voices from within PPRO to explore and hopefully illuminate an area of the fintech industry. This week, we'll be sitting down with Steve Viegas, PPRO's VP for Partner Development based in Atlanta, to discuss the American cross-border e-commerce market and how it compares to other e-commerce markets across the world. If you'd like to get in touch with him, you can find his LinkedIn information below, as well as links to all the sources that we've used today. And without further ado, Steve Viegas. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Excellent. And Steve, what exactly do you do as VP of Business Development? What does that mean?
So in the U.S., we recently opened the office for PPRO to help support all of our partners. Today, we have the majority of the acquiring partners in the U.S. are teamed up with PPRO. So my responsibility is really to help in supporting their operations through training and education, linking them to all of our technical support as they grow their merchant base and connecting to all of our alternative payment methods that we're making available to them.
Excellent. And I'm glad you brought up alternative payment methods because this is obviously what we're going to be speaking about today. And in the U.S., it seems as though alternative payment methods are not that common or they're not as well recognized as many other places. Why is that?
So typically in the U.S., cards have dominated the payment scheme. So Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. And the primary reason is really three factors, I would say. Number one would be the banks. So the banking system within the U.S. is very strong. And of course, banks provide credit cards and the issuing side of their businesses. And so that along with the acquiring business itself, which I'll call point of sale, which was really a business in itself. So I think all of those factors have helped the U.S. grow into a very strong credit card market. And it's big business, and there's been a lot of growth. And now it's really fueled by technology, things like mobile payments, integrated POS solutions, et cetera. So alternative payments, while there's a few minor ones within the U.S., have never really been the progressive part of it, where you see the rest of the world where there's a lot of different types of payment methods that are used locally, where the U.S. is, of course, very credit card centric.
So, Steve, domestically in the U.S., how much of the e-commerce is driven by credit cards?
In the U.S., being predominantly credit cards, it's over 60% card usage in the U.S. from a Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover perspective. And that represents, near $700 billion in total volume when you look at annually, when you look at e-commerce market and what is produced in the U.S. It's much higher than the average. I think the average globally is closer to 20%.
Excellent. And is that 61% fairly average for countries in the world, or is 61% fairly high?
It's much higher. When you look at the rest of the world, is in the teens, somewhere around 17 or 18% credit card usage when it comes to e-commerce. And so certainly that, again, shows the dominance of cards here in the U.S.
What does this mean? So this means that retailers in the U.S. haven't been encouraged to expand their payment method options, right?
Yeah, there hasn't really been a need to. I mean, when you have things, certainly debit has been a means of growth, and that's really linked through a card to a bank account, but it's still a card-centric. So there hasn't been a need or necessity for businesses and for the overall economics to look at other types of payment methods. Now, there are some that are coming about that are fairly small that you could say that are, you have some P2P applications and maybe like a PayPal, which has certainly been considered as an alternative payment, which is a predominant method online for a lot of respects. But in terms of other alternative payments and being able to link to those, there hasn't really been a need for merchants to look that way until recently.
Why should merchants actually be looking to integrate APMs in the U.S., even though the U.S., as we stated before, is primarily credit card based?
Around the world, when you look at the global e-commerce market, being in the billions of dollars, even trillion, I think it's like 1.3 trillion is the global e-commerce market. overall. And when you look at where the volumes are coming from globally, most countries use local payment methods. And when you think about these transactions, the U.S. market, merchants in the U.S., we would consider those to be called cross-border transactions. And cross-border is when a card is coming from another country. And today, and again, historically, as merchants have sold goods and services across the globe, these cross-border transactions have been in the likes of Visa, MasterCard, et cetera, from a card perspective, where we haven't really recognized the need. The U.S. merchants haven't recognized the need, or if they have, they have had problems trying to figure out how to connect to those local payment schemes. And so that's been there's been a barrier of entry there for them to connect to them. And really the relevance hasn't been necessarily there because they haven't had the knowledge and understanding of how meaningful these other payment methods are around the world. When you think about global e-commerce and a consumer coming from Malaysia or Indonesia or even China, or you know, in Europe, any of the European nations, many of them European nations, those transactions, if they were able to offer those local payment methods, certainly they would see a growth or an opportunity to have higher revenues in those countries, as well as certainly less shopping cart abandonment. Today, we note that over 50% of carts, and when you are seeing transactions come from other countries, there's over 50% abandonment rate because local payment methods oftentimes are not offered by U.S. merchants.
So those are people buying internationally from American merchants.
Correct.
50% are abandoned.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's, I think, really dealing with, there's a good and service, right? Goods and services that the consumers in other countries are desiring. And oftentimes, these merchants that are U.S.-based are not able to offer those. And certainly a consumer is going to that and wants to use their predominant payment method, the one they have. They may not even have a card. They may have no credit card. They may only have a local payment scheme, but they're unable to buy that product or service. And therefore, they leave that shopping experience. An example is recently talking to, and again, PPRO works primarily with the acquiring partners around and PSPs around the globe. But we do occasionally have the opportunity to interact with merchants, especially on an education level of us helping merchants understand what's happening in the global alternative payment landscape. And recently talking with a merchant that is in the hair styling business, but also hair products. And they've got some well-renowned hair products that they're selling globally. And they, about 10% of their traffic is coming across border today, but they only accept cards. And when we started talking to them about alternative payment methods, when that conversation came to that point of what's happening internationally and globally, they were unaware of some of the payment methods. They knew a couple of the big ones, you know, like SoFort here in Germany and of course, Alipay in China. They recognized that. Boleto Bancario in Brazil. They recognized those, but they didn't understand how best to address that and didn't even know that it was available for them to connect to these alternative payment methods in order to accept payments in those nations. It's really a merchant education opportunity for the merchants to understand and recognize that these are available. And their local acquirers, the acquiring banks that they work with, should be able to connect them through a company like PPRO to give them access to those local payment methods. And ultimately, it's about them offering that in the online shopping experience to those particular regions or geographies or nations where they're offering those local payment methods. I think it really starts with an education, though. So us being able to recognize that there's an education level needed within the merchant base, as well as in the acquiring world. So the partners that we partner with, we providing them educational materials through reports, through each individual payment scheme, how they work. There's a lot of variables there that that people need to be educated on.
So 10% of growth was coming from abroad, and they had no idea that they could integrate APMs and probably increase the percentage of sales coming from abroad?
Correct. Yeah, they when they looked at it, they knew that they were taking Visa and MasterCard. They had cross-border transactions, which, by the way, typically have a higher fee than your general local transactions that they're getting online. So they didn't realize that there was opportunity there. They knew they had a shopping cart abandonment rate, but they just figured it was product-centric and not necessarily payment-centric.
And do you think this is a fairly common example for small and medium businesses in the U.S.?
I think it's a common example for most businesses in the U.S., with the exception of the very large e-commerce merchants who either have gone direct with some of the payment methods or using multiple providers throughout the world to give them local access and connectivity. The majority of U.S. merchants are unfamiliar with alternative payment methods or local payment schemes. Or if they are familiar with them, they're unfamiliar with how to best to connect with them without having to go with multiple integrations. So again, this is why the education, but also the understanding that that we are helping to provide access through their acquiring partners in the U.S., that they're able to gain connectivity to these local payment schemes and then offer it to those consumers who are desiring to buy products or services from them.
Looking globally, in terms of other merchants worldwide, are American merchants fairly behind? Are they behind the curve in terms of European merchants? What does it look like?
Yeah, I think when you look at e-commerce itself, I think U.S. merchants understand the business. They understand the game. They've been able to offer their products and services through a good e-commerce experience. That being said, they're very behind in terms of offering local payment methods that are used in other countries. And that's happened for several reasons. Again, card has dominated the e-commerce experience in the U.S. From a being able to check out with card. That's what people use predominantly. And so it hasn't been seen as a need. Where you look at Europe, where there's a prevalent of different countries connected together, part of the European Union, but you also have a lot of different payment schemes that consumers are used to using across, when you think about cross-border, they're using their local payment method. And so if somebody in the Netherlands wants to buy a product in Germany, they may not have a local payment method, SOFORT, as an example, that Germans use here. Although in the Netherlands, they use iDEAL. So the German company may want to offer iDEAL, as an example. That's already well known in Europe, that these other payment schemes are being used. Where in the U.S., merchants, because have been so predominant in cards, haven't needed to consider offering these other local payment methods that consumers in other countries would use.
So essentially, the American e-commerce market was big enough for them, and they only focused on American markets, and they didn't look abroad.
Well, I think they looked abroad, but they understood that cards were offered, cards are accepted, and around the world, cards are still used. It's just a small, much smaller percentage than what is used in the U.S. And so I think it's more of an education opportunity now. And it's also, keep in mind that local payment methods were never readily available. So for me to go into an e-commerce market or go into another market with my e-commerce business, I wouldn't even consider the local payment method because I never had access to it. So it really didn't matter. I just needed to make sure that I had cards on my site, that I could accept Visa, MasterCard as payment methods. And I knew that, you know, that would give that opportunity to whoever those consumers were that might have Visa and MasterCard.
And do you actually use any APMs at all, or are you only a card person, only using plastic?
So today, I would say predominantly, I still use cards, right? With the exception of like PayPal, where I will use, which may be considered, you know, it's a wallet within the U.S. that dominates. And there's other wallets that are growing in the U.S., like let's say the Starbucks app, right? That really essentially is a wallet, and that's used globally, right? That you, when I go to Starbucks, I'm using my Starbucks app.
Yeah, it's the most popular e-wallet in the U.S., I think.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe even around the world it's the most popular. Yeah. So that's an example of, you know, and a minority e-wallet. I don't know that we'll ever use, and maybe we will. Maybe some days will you be using the Starbucks app to shop online and goods and services. Who knows if they have that in mind. But certainly things like Apple Pay and Samsung Pay and some others have begun to grow, but that they still don't match the level of all these other local payment methods that are available or that are used around the world in various countries.
Yeah, certainly. I think in Southeast Asia, the Grab app is like Uber. They also have Grab Wallet, which they're trying to push as well. So it's pretty similar there to Starbucks. That's pretty interesting. So what factors should merchants in the U.S. actually look for if they're trying to expand their markets abroad?
You know, when I think about an e-commerce merchant, certainly if they're already selling goods and services across the globe and they're seeing cross-border, so you have two different things. One, a merchant that isn't selling anything across border or hasn't expanded, and then the ones that are. So let's start with the ones that are. First and foremost, they should be able to identify what markets they're seeing sales in today by where those cross-border transactions are coming from. So what markets, what countries are they seeing these come from, and what's the volume look like? Is it significant or is it insignificant? So those are things first and foremost, and they can identify that and understand who their customer base is, and does it make sense to make an investment, further investment in that? When they're considering how to sell into those markets from an alternative payment perspective, they'll need education around that. So certainly part of what we're doing with our partners is to educate the merchants on what payment methods they need to consider. We provide all of that information. So in, for example, if they're selling over in Brazil, they need to consider Boleto Bancario. If they're selling in Mexico, OXXO becomes a primary payment method that they need to consider, which is a cash-valued payment method, and a variety of other payment methods. So wherever they're selling, that's the first thing is they need to recognize what payment methods are available here. Secondly, they need to understand, how do I connect to those payment methods? What's the best way? And again, in the past, merchants in the U.S. never really had ability to connect to these local payment schemes online. And that's why the card schemes have continued to be the predominant way of offering goods and services.
Could you explain for a second, how exactly would a U.S. merchant accept a payment from OXXO in Mexico?
Just a little bit of background there. So OXXO, of course, is a cash-based payment method where a consumer will buy something online. They'll receive a ticket number or a voucher number. They'll print that off. They'll actually go to the local OXXO store. So OXXO is a convenience store in Mexico. And they will go and they'll actually make a payment at that convenience store. And it'll go through the OXXO system. They'll provide their receipt number to that convenience store. And once that transaction is completed, then their purchase will be completed and they'll receive whatever good or service that they were buying online. So it's a very manual process for the consumer, but in many cash-based areas where, you know, many countries are still very heavily cash-based, in those types of scenarios, this is a way of paying. This is where this has become commonplace for buying e-commerce goods, is you would go to the local convenience store, you would have a receipt number or something along those lines, and you would make your payment at that convenience store for whatever you're purchasing online.
So it's still an online purchase, but with cash.
Correct.
So what else should a merchant really look at? So the first thing you mentioned was obviously where their sales are coming from. Beyond that, what else should they look at?
Yeah, and again, the education of them looking at what payment methods are available in those countries. But then how am I going to connect to those payment methods? And certainly their acquirer, they should be talking with their local payment processor that they're connected today and find out are they able to offer these payment schemes? Where can they connect to those payment schemes? And then there's some other considerations as well. Part of the consideration is looking, when I receive a cross-border transaction, is there any currency exchange involved? Do I need to understand where that transaction is coming from and what currency they use? And if they're working with their acquirer, typically they should be able to avoid that and just have a USD deposit made into their account, and their acquirer is handling that piece of it. But that's something else they need to understand and recognize as well. Within their site, obviously, as they offer the payment method, you know, are they also offering it in the local currencies? So a consumer in that other country is able to decipher, what am I paying, right? You can't offer products and services in USD. Unless you're somehow translating that within your system. And that oftentimes, again, is part of the acquirer's local processor's job, is to help in doing that as well.
Okay. Any other things that merchants should be looking at?
I think long-term is what else is happening in that marketplace? Am I able to sell other goods and services? And then where else do I want to expand? If this good or service that I'm selling today online, I'm seeing an impact in a certain country, why is that? What's happening in that country? And can I sell more in that country? What do I need to do? And that really comes down to more of a marketing expertise of, what do I need to look at? And then, are there other countries that maybe today I'm not seeing sales in? Why is that? And how do I begin to use the same potential opportunity that I had in one country into another country?
Okay. And so this is mostly for small and medium businesses.
Actually, it's for all businesses that are selling online, right? Anybody that's selling a good or service that is that makes sense for consumers in other countries. Certainly, I think the we know the massive e-commerce companies today already are connected in those countries. But the medium, large, medium, even small businesses should be considering this. And how do I grow my piece of the pie? How do I grow? How do I make sure I'm taking advantage of these growing e-commerce markets across the world?
Where should merchants be looking if they want to expand their markets? Are there any e-commerce markets that are growing at exorbitant rates compared to other markets?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at global e-commerce, I think the growth rate is around 16%. The U.S. itself is like 12 to 15%, probably closer to 12%. But there's so many markets out there that are large double-digit growth. So when you look across the globe, last year, Indonesia was the top market, and it grew at 78%. And that could be, you know, for a variety of reasons, right? Where you're looking at the growth and explosion of mobile, right? These countries are leapfrogging technology where they may not have the internet like we're used to in the U.S., but they're seeing mobile e-commerce take place. And so that's fueling the growth and more in products and services being available. Next was Mexico at 59%, which is really important here for the U.S., because we are, you know, next door to Mexico, and selling goods and services in Mexico makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of, obviously, we have a ton of population in the U.S. That has a Mexican heritage, some Mexican Americans, and a lot of businesses that are very centric to the Latino market. And so when you think about this, taking advantage of the local payment methods that are in Mexico to ensure that as you're selling goods and services, that's available for those residents, those consumers in Mexico to buy goods and services. And not just the ones that might have the cards that we accept today, but the ones that might be that may need to use cash, that only use cash today, like the OXXO example that I gave earlier.
And so you mentioned that mobile use is maybe a factor in this. Are there any other factors why Mexico would have such a high e-commerce growth rate?
So I think it all just depends on it. I think there's several factors. Obviously, technology plays a part. Economics play a part, right? I think every various nations and countries are, their growth rates take place based on how local economies are doing. Sometimes as local economies grow, that gives prevalence to more e-commerce shopping. Certainly, going back to technology, whether it's mobile technology or just internet availability, internet penetration, all of those play a significant factor in how e-commerce growth takes place. And I think as this is probably generationally as well. So as you see next generations, millennials coming about, and certainly mobile being a dominant force there, and their shopping dollars expanding and them growing, that is that it shows large convergence of growth in those particular countries as well.
Yeah, demographics, I'd never thought of that. So the younger the population is, probably the higher rate for e-commerce growth there might be.
Sure.
As more people come online.
Well, think about it. The kids of today, I mean, I think about my kids and what they experience. You know, they see an Amazon package show up at the door every other day. They see groceries get delivered. They see, you know, whatever it is, online mechanisms that take place, whether it's an app or it's, you know, buying a good or service online. That's the world that we live in. It's convenience-based. Certainly the U.S. and the much of the first world countries are seeing that immediately. And I think many of the growing countries, growing economies around the world are beginning to experience this as well. So a lot of it's convenience. A lot of it is ease of use. A lot of it is opportunity that they're experiencing now.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining me. This has definitely been a very illuminating conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to send an email to podcast@ppro.com and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @ppro_group. Until next time.